thank you all for coming out this morning. It's a very special day in the life of our church, a time when we come together and celebrate Christmas, and we're going to be having a meal in just a few minutes. One thing I would like to note, it was in the bulletin today, but just to United Church Ministries is a ministry that our Lisa heads up, and also we have several ladies in the church that help out, and we are wanting to give to them. So if you came prepared today to give, then please do so. If you're writing a check, just make it out to Northview, and then I think Jerry's going to just make one regular check. And we also have a box in the back that people's putting food in. So if you forgot today or it didn't cross your mind, then also we'll do it again next Sunday, because I'm sure they can appreciate everything that you can give them and help them in. Lisa did say last time that money would be very much appreciated, that they are blessed with a lot of food, well, with some food. I'm sure they can use anything you can give them, and so I'm sure they would appreciate that so very much. Well, thank you for being here. It's nothing like Sunday morning in the South. Amen. And in North Carolina, it can be eventful. It can be 80 by this afternoon. But I'm glad that you came today. Whenever we consider church and that kind of thing, we look at the weather, and we certainly want to factor in everybody's safety, number one. But with the road and everything like it was today, we felt like we need to try to have it. So we're glad that you did come out and be a part of us today. Just something special about being here. It's just something special about coming into God's house. I love the symbolisms we do, the things that we do. It all means a lot to me, and I appreciate this opportunity that God gives us every Sunday to be a part. I want you to go to the book of Luke this morning. I was praying concerning our service today. I just got a few things I want to share with you, and then we're going to have our meal. Before we leave today, let's have our blessing here, and then that way when we get out there, we'll be ready to eat. But I was asking the Lord during our prayer time, I was just thanking Him for coming to earth and doing what He's done for us. And I wanted something fresh. I said, Lord, just give me something fresh to share with the people today. And the thought came to me, what about Mary? And I begin to think about Mary. I begin to think about all the mother of Jesus went through. And you don't ever hear a lot of discourse from her. You don't ever hear a lot of anything from her. She just accomplished a tremendous goal that God had for her. And so I want us to read there, Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And I want to read verses 1 through 7. But in your study time, I'm sure you've read it many times, but Luke chapter 1 is beautiful because it talks about her cousin, Elizabeth, how John was foretold that he would be here. He even gave his name. And God sent Gabriel to do the same thing for Mary. But in Luke chapter 2, I want to read verses 1 through 7, and then we're going to drop down to verse 19. And it came to pass in these days that there were out of decree Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius, the governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone in his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while the days were accomplished, that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And then a verse that I never really, it never really caught me before, but go to verse 19. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And I want to look at that verse right there, verse 19, and I want to look at the word pondered there. Because that word pondered there means to reflect upon or to think upon. And as she was sitting there, as she goes back through this past year, she thought about when the angel Gabriel came and announced to her that God's chosen you. He's chosen you. The first thing I want to know about Mary is, what about Mary? First of all, she was chosen. And I begin to correlate her life to our lives today. God so loved this world. I don't think there's ever been a sermon made or prepared or ever will be that can really describe all the love that God has for you and me. You were created with love. And I think about Mary. Who was Mary? She was, it doesn't really say that she was anything spectacular as far as what the world would say. But she was just a willing vessel. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. But the main thing about her is that she was chosen. Now as Mary sits there, she ponders. Now she's thinking about over this last year how God has prophesied to her through angels. And now it's like everything's coming together. All of a sudden she knew no man, and she, as the discourse was going on between her and the angel, says, how can I have a child? I don't know a man. She knew no man. She was engaged to Joseph. And I think about all that she went through there. But God chose her. He picked her out of all the women in the world. And I wondered why. God, why did you pick her? And number one I thought about was, she was committed. Well, how do you know she was really committed? Because when God chose her, you never hear her arguing to these angels. You never hear her saying, well, I can't do that. There's no way in the world. She just sits there and humbly receives what God did for her. I want to think about you and me. God so loved you and me, He chose us. Out of everybody in the world, He chose you to love, to cherish, till death do us part. And even when we die, we don't really die, because we go to be with Him. His love is beyond comprehension. And I think about this woman, Mary, had to be a tremendous committed woman. Because you say, why? Let's get into it a little bit more. As she becomes pregnant, as she starts showing, the Bible says she was great with child. Now you sure, you got to know that people talk, say, well, they're not even married, they're not even this or that or the other. But she was committed, because the Bible says in Luke 1:28, says she was highly favored. She was highly favored. She was a virgin, which symbolizes her purity. She was pure. And when we come before God, He has made us pure by His blood, by His love for us. But here's a woman, a little woman in the world, that was chosen. And I'm just imagining, the Bible says, she's seeing all these events going on. Now she has a little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. And the word says she just pondered this in her heart. Her heart just was so full that, first of all, she's now a mother who didn't even know a man. So she's a supernatural mother, and just sitting there taking in all that God chose her. And I'm sure as she pondered as she thought about everything going on, I'm sure the weight came upon her because, what am I going to do? You got to remember now, she didn't just have a baby. She had the Son of God. And I said, Lord, I believe that there's something in there you want to tell us. First of all, you need to understand that you were chosen by God also. But when you're chosen by God, like He's chosen us, there's an ultimate responsibility how we respond to that choosing. God chose us. And she responded to it. Number two, what about Mary? Mary was a very courageous woman. She was courageous because she was willing to do it. I want to tell you this. God so loved the world that He sent His Son and gave His Son for you and me. Why? Because He chose you. You're not just sitting here as you think by chance. You're sitting here as a divine plan of God. You're sitting here as a divine plan of God. Every minute of your life has been orchestrated by God who chose you. I've heard stories of people that were aborted and evidently they did something wrong and the baby was still lived. You want to know something? That's not by mistake. Amen. That's God chose us. And when I think about all the blessings that God has poured on us and as Mary just pondered and here's all these people coming. These shepherds are coming. Wise men are going to come. And they're going to bring gifts that will help support them through all their rest of their lives. She ponders these things and says, man, who am I? And I come back to that saying also, God, who are we? That you love us so much, that you take care of us every day of our life. Though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death sometime, you're right there with us. You never leave us, you never forsake us. She was engaged to a man by Joseph, and I think about Joseph, how he didn't question. He didn't say, Mary, you know, this ain't right. You've been messing around on me. He just took it in his heart. At one point, I'm sure he thought about maybe dissolving it, but then his commitment. When you think about commitment, what does it really mean? It means you stand when you don't understand. It means you believe in a power. You see, Mary was a virgin. She was a strong woman because the Bible says she was highly favored among women. So she stood out with her lifestyle among women. And when she was committed, when you think about commitment, what we need today in the world more than anything else is to commit to a God that we know chose us. Amen. Amen. He chose you. The one sitting beside of you is not there by mistake. He's there, she's there, because God put them there. Isn't that awesome? God ordained our lives. He took Mary out of everybody in the world. He chose Mary. He sent angels. Well, He's done the same thing to us. He sent the Holy Spirit to us to knock on the door of our heart. And say, will you let me in? And when we let Him in, we become a part of His kingdom forever and ever and ever. The second thing I said, what about Mary? She was courageous. Now I'm going to tell you something. She's not really loud and boisterous or anything like that. She's very quiet, very resolved. But I'm going to tell you something. She was courageous. Why? Because she was obedient. When God asks us to do things in life, it is life-changing. Let me back up and say that again. When God asks us to do things, whether it's give a cup of cold water in His name, whatever it is, when God asks you to do something, it is life-changing. You say, what he asked me to do really didn't mean you don't know the whole impact. This young lady did not realize when she received this gift of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the Holy Spirit conceived her in her. The Son of God. The Son of God. God came down in the form of flesh. And he chose a person for that to happen. Is that awesome or what? God chose you to perform supernatural miracles. Now think about that just a minute. You say, hang on just a minute. God chose you to change somebody's world. She did not realize, I've got to remember, she's sitting there pondering these things, thinking on these things. She did not realize totally that inside of her was God. Inside of her was God in the form of his Son, Jesus Christ. And he chose to come as a little baby to show us that God chose us to evolve day by day in his presence so that in turn we might change somebody's life. Inside of you right now is God. Through the form of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I got to leave. I got to go, but I'm going to send you another comforter. And he was doing the same thing to us that he did to Mary. I'm going to impregnate you with the Holy Spirit. And he's going to grow in you. And he's going to produce in you. And life is going to come out of you. Do you get that this morning? God chose you to produce life. Selfishness is such a terrible thing in the eyes of God. Pride goes before a fall. You want to know why selfishness is so terrible? Because all it thinks about is itself. All it thinks about. And you know what? Selfish people never find the real joy of life. Selfish people never find the real happiness of life. Because the real happiness of life is inside of you, and you let that go, but it takes commitment. Don't you think there were times when people were talking about her and she'd go into a place, and people staring, look at her, and I know they were the talk of the town, but she was committed to God. She was obedient to what he would have her to do. When we begin to think about that we were chosen by God, your life is not your own. That he made you. Do not we give him praise this morning? Don't you think we need to give him a lot of praise this morning? Because he made us. Amen. If you're successful on your job, if you've accomplished, if you've climbed the ladder, so to speak, in this world, if you are so-called successful, you know who deserves all that credit? It's God. You say, well, I did the hard work. Who gave you the mind and the ability and the strength and the knowledge and opened the right door and shut the other door? How many of you know it's him? In all things, give him praise. In the good times, praise his name. In the bad times, do the same. Amen. Because God, you deserve all the glory. Selfish people never know what that is. Selfish people are eaten alive on inside of them because they want to hold on to everything because they say it's their accomplishment. I want to say this to you. Nothing is done alone. Somebody has help to do whatever. Amen. Every one of us has had help to get where we are today. If somebody hadn't helped us in our life at certain times, where would we be today? Amen. She was courageous. She stood before a whole world in the supernatural realm. She could look down at her belly and it was growing. Can you imagine that? And she didn't know no man. But she was courageous. She looked at what God gave her to do. Now you got to get this. She looked at what God gave her to do, and she did it with all her might. God never asks us to understand everything He tells us to do. He just says, take courage. Be courage. The last thing, she was called to change a world. What does it mean to be called to change a world? She was chosen. She was committed. She was courageous. And lastly, she was called. What is your world made up of right now? Her whole world changed. It was no longer about her. Can you imagine that? A little girl from a virgin, knew nobody, just her and Joseph, kind of hung out at the Burger King, stuff like that. I mean, you know, she didn't know, her life wasn't just... But all of a sudden, it's over, and now she's giving it all to God. Thank God for a Savior. Thank God for His grace and His mercy. But she was called to change a world. What are you called to change? You're called to do the same thing. He chose you. As you commit to Him and stand in courage and obedience, you'll change people's lives. And as we get down to the end of this year, I believe that 2019 is going to be a year of decision. I believe this. I've been praying. I said, Lord, what's coming for 2019? What's ahead of us? And the only thing I can get back in my prayer time is that 2019 is going to be a year of decision. And my mind went back to Joshua, where Joshua said, who's on the Lord's side? Let him make a decision. Who's on the Lord's side? As we go into 2019, it's going to take people that realize they've been called to change. We need to get the word out. We need to start telling people of what God's done in our life. We need to start telling people where we go to church. Amen? We need to start telling people, inviting people everywhere we go, whether we know them or not, because you never know who you might talk to and whose life you might change. What about Mary? Can it be said? What about Ronnie? What about you? What about your name? What is your life accomplishing today? Would you stand to your feet as we get ready to close in prayer? Mary pondered these things in her heart. And I'm praying. Let me share something with you real quick, and then we'll have our blessing. I'm praying that you'll have such a relationship with God in the coming days that you'll just sit back and ponder all what God has done. And if we'll just tell one person what God has done in our lives, you don't know how many people it'll change. You agree with that? One person. The only way this church is going to grow, the only way any church is going to really grow, is when people believe in the church they go to, because the church you go to believes in the God that we serve. Amen? And I want to tell you, Northview believes in the one true God. We don't believe in many gods. We believe in one. Amen. We believe in a God that can heal the sick, raise the dead, set the captive free. That's what we believe in. We believe in a God that still makes a way where there is not a way. We believe in a God that can still change lives. And when people hear what you believe and you're committed to it, somebody's going to follow you here to see what kind of church you go to. Would you take one another's hand as we close in prayer, and let this Christmas service be a time when we commit our lives to God renewed. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time and opportunity to come and present your message to the world. Lord, I don't take it lightly. Every time I stand in this pulpit, Lord, I realize it's a platform to be a voice in this last day. God, I realize that you have done so much for us. We like Mary, ponder in our heart all the things that you've done, all the prophecies you've fulfilled, all the ways you made things work out for us when there didn't seem to be a way. Lord, I pray for 2019 to be a year of decision. A decision that people commit unto you, Lord, like never before. A year, Lord, when they commit to you to say, who's on the Lord's side? Let him come. Father, we thank you for this event that we have today, this celebration, the time where our church family can get together. We pray for the food, Lord, here this morning. We say the blessing, Lord, that you'll bless this food. For we recognize, Lord, there are people in this world who don't have this blessing. And I thank you for it, God. I thank you for the hands that have prepared it. I thank you, Lord, for everything that's come together here. And bless this time of fellowship. Bless this food. Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.